Okay. Welcome to Bimmercast number 47. It is April 4th, 2011. We're coming to you almost a month, if not more than a month, since the last show. But we have a lot, obviously, to go through. Lots of M tonight. M changes in M management, actually, which has kind of caught us all off guard. We've got the M3 lightweight concept, which we've seen a sneak peek. The M5 concept, the 1M MotoGP pace car, which looks pretty interesting. And then we get into, of course, the M-Fest, which is going to be happening this June at the Nürburgring. And finally, just to round out the show and prove that we're not just M fanatics, we also like the series cars, the new 6 Series Coupe. We'll talk a little bit about the new Shark. Stay tuned. Okay, so Michael, we're back. It's been, God, it's been over a month.
Well, I'm sorry. It's, you know, I had to go into M rehab. So, you know, it happens. The snow just, it gets you down and trying to drive on PS2s. But
so let's talk about this. I mean, we've been gone for a month. And again, all apologies, not intended. We had a lot of, I had some vacations thrown in the mix. I was traveling for work quite a bit. We had a couple shows where we thought we could do them and it just didn't work out. And then Michael, of course, you've been apparently buried under some snow.
Yeah, it's depressing, but you know what? It's finally leaving, Gabe. I'm very excited about the snow leaving. Hell, we were supposed to be at Lime Rock this past weekend and it snowed, so there was no Lime Rock.
There you go. It was, I can imagine it probably would have been a little dangerous, what with the guardrails right up against the track.
Yeah, that has a little to do with it, yeah.
Yeah, so. Absolutely. Well, I think we've got a ton to talk about, so I think we should just dive right into it. I think the biggest thing is definitely all the M stuff. We've got two new cars, plus the MotoGP pace car, which we're going to talk about, the 1 Series. But first, to start this thing off, what the hell is going on with the M management? I mean, Dr. Kai Segler came on board... It was about two years ago, from Mini, and immediately made change, immediately started to affect the product. And, you know, he did some controversial things. I mean, the X5 and X6, of course. But then,
well, those were before him. Those were before Village, him. Which actually right. was started before him. So
okay, so let's take a step back. You're right. Yeah. I'm wrong. This man is responsible for... What?
Fixing the aftermath of the X5 and X6.
Okay, so this is the man who basically created the 1M. And this is the man who oversaw the last part of M5 development. And this is the man who also is going to have a pretty hefty stamp in terms of what the next generation M3 is going to be about as well.
Yeah, he has his hand in pretty much a lot of good stuff, to be honest with you. It seems like he came in, fixed stuff, and now he has to go fix Mini.
Well, and we don't want to talk about Mini too much.
I'm not going to talk about
White Roof Radio.
Yeah.
I will, because I love Mini, but it's interesting because you know, Mini obviously under Dr. Kai, as we called him Dr. Kai on the Mini side, under at the BMW side we called him Dr. Segler. So I think I'm going to go back to calling him Dr. Kai. Anyway, Dr. Kai was sort of revered as a Mini brand manager and really did a great job of I think bringing enthusiasm and spirit to the brand. And clearly it looks like he's back and he's going to be doing that. I'm real excited to see what he brings forth with some special cars as well as, you know, maybe some new iterations of the Mini, including perhaps the city car, the Rocket Man, which is one of the most exciting concepts I've ever seen from Mini. And you can't not like that concept, Michael.
No, I actually do like that concept, Gabe. And it'll be interesting to see what he does over there and be interesting to see with his predecessor here, Dr. Nitschke.
Successor, predecessor.
Yeah, you know what? There's too much Jack going on over here, but... Anyway,
no, I think you're right. I'm really excited to see what happens because he is from his resume. It would appear he's a product man. He really knows product, and product development.
Yeah, well, let's hope he brings us some nice M wagons. M wagons equal good times.
So clearly not for the U.S., but still, nonetheless, that is exciting to see. I have a lot of hope. You know, we've got obviously some new realities with M. We've got M crossovers, which. Well, I guess now it's going to be interesting to see if those live on past this generation. I would expect they
Gabe,
would.
Gabe, we have an M pickup truck.
We have an M pickup truck. We have the M3 pickup truck, which, is, of course, is an April Fool's joke. But we also have forced induction pretty much everywhere throughout the M lineup. Of course, the M3, notwithstanding, which will be the last naturally aspirated M product. But it is a new era with M. And with that new era, Michael, allow me to present... For the first time on the Bimmercast, the F10M, the new M5, has officially been unveiled.
I personally love it in concept form. I think it's muscular yet a little bit subdued. It's not kind of in your face, and you know, I'm a race car.
But I mean, tell me what M5 has ever been that.
Well, I personally think that the outgoing model was a little bit more. Substantial compared to, say, the M Sport version. I think there was just a huge differentiation, and I don't see that as much with this car. From my untrained, non-design oriented eye, I'm a function person. Uh-huh. This looks very, very functional to me. I love it.
So here's because I tend to agree with you at first glance. However, looking at this car plus the M Sport, I think air intakes are bigger. There's lots of subtle things, but the general shape and design is the same. You're right. Whereas the E60 had some unique features to it that I saw one the other day. In fact, last night in a darkened alley, literally pulling out of a darkened alley. And, you know, from the gleam of the wheels to, you know, the little lip spoiler, or I should say the little front splitter, it's a unique car. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, and the front end on that, E60 wasn't even designed by BMW, but that's a whole nother show.
We'll have to get back to that.
Yeah, but I like this concept car. I love the paint. I actually enjoy this paint, which is something interesting because you know how I feel about paints that kind of look like this.
but it's interesting. What is? I mean, it's not matte.
It's not matte and it's not really metallic. It's like that liquid metal paint. Mm-hmm. I don't know what they're calling it. You know, the 7-page press release kind of gave me a headache after a while.
But they didn't really talk about it that much. The seven page press release was all about Shanghai. There's only a little bit of M5 news that I could see.
Yeah, the only thing I'm not a fan of is the black wheels. I think they're a little played.
Yeah, I tend to agree. And even if you sort of paint them silver in your mind, I kind of say I'm not a big fan of them. I've got to say that they're just a little, they got some curvature and it's a little, I don't know. I'm not a fan, but you know what I am a fan of? The 6-piston calipers behind them and the floating rotors.
Yeah. There's a lot of good stuff coming out of this car. This is going to be a beast. You know, what's going to really help is that diff.
So ring the bells here. This is the diff that we have, to my knowledge, hasn't really accurately been talked about anywhere yet.
No, there's a lot of BS floating around about the diff, Gabe, and we're going to give you the facts. This diff is not the same diff in the X5 or the X6. This diff is not the same diff that's in the M3. This is a completely new generation of diff. And the easiest way I can explain it to you is it's predictive because of electronics.
So the differential in the M5 is different, let's just back up, than what we see in the M3, which is, you've often described it as the UPS truck diff. It's this huge metal box, and it's also in the 1M as well.
Yes.
Proven to be very effective, obviously.
Very effective. It's great. It's viscous, so it uses fluid and builds up pressure and opens valves and
there's
switches
things,
the plates.
There's metal and there's...
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. It's very effective at what it does. It's not predictive in nature. It's on, off, boom, lock, unlock. You know, it can vary a little bit from side to side based on the engagement of the clutch plates. But for the most part, it has no idea if you're making a turn or if you're going straight. It just knows that there's wheel slip and it activates based on that. Well, the downside of that is, Gabe, is efficiency, because the thing is always going. It's really always, you know, it's always going, and there's added friction, added mass. And we're in an age of efficiency equals good, so there has to be a change in that.
So then the X5M and the X6M, of course, have torque vectoring diffs, which are vastly different than what you see in the M5.
Yeah, and that's a whole nother show by itself, with planetary gears and things of that nature, and a little bit of electronics. But for the most part, that diff in the X5 and X6Ms is it's similar in nature to a viscous diff, in the sense that it picks up wheel slip and all that great stuff, and does its magic by sending the torque to the outside wheel. And in that car, in those vehicles, you actually do not have to be on the gas for it to vector. So that's a really cool feature those have. The M5, not featuring that at all. It's essentially going to be computerized. I really can't go into much detail. I do have the details, but I'm kind of sworn to secrecy on this stuff at this time.
So we're not going to talk about it tonight, but we will talk about it very, very soon.
Yeah, and know that what you're reading is all crap, folks, unfortunately, and it's because people are just guessing. The information has been out there for some time on this car, and Chris Harris did an excellent job of describing how this works. So if you want to kind of get a better picture of how this works, you can go read his review, and it's fantastic.
And that was over at Evo, and I believe he also has a small version over at Jalopnik as well.
Yes.
So, you know, we don't mean to, like, harp on this diff, but I mean, what's happening here is the M5 is getting so powerful, 560 horsepower out of a twin-turbo V8. It gets to the point that you've got several key factors, limiting factors, and one of them, of course, is in a rear-wheel drive car is grip, and grip around corners and grip in a straight line. And where this diff will help is really both, but especially around corners. And you see those times on the Nürburgring, Nissan GTR, for instance, with an insane, 724 or 723,
yeah,
something like that. Well, I mean, it's all-wheel drive. It's got enormous amounts of grip, and they've got a magical diff inside that car as well. And what BMW is trying to do here is to bring some of that magic through electronics and through, you know, all sorts of wizardry to the M5, to the rear-wheel drive M5, while creating something that actually is more efficient. I think it's fantastic, and I can't wait to hear more about it.
Yeah, I mean, think about how xDrive works. xDrive works using electronics. You can do the same thing with the rear end of the car.
There we go. Well, we will save that for another show and another article, so look for that on BimmerFile soon. But I do want to move on to the lightweight M3 concept, which was previewed at in Germany recently. And this is a concept we don't know a whole lot about, but we have, I would say, some good guesses.
Carbon fiber is our friend.
Right, so let's just throw it out there. Carbon fiber hood?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, carbon fiber front fenders.
Absolutely, they were there to begin with.
Okay, and how about lightweight plastic reinforced, or I should say, yeah, plastic reinforced carbon fiber seats?
I would say yes.
So let's talk about, you know, what you could potentially shed from this car. You've got all that 45. I mean, you're talking maybe could it be up to 100 pounds of weight right there?
Sure, and I think you could save some more weight with getting rid of some parts that, or not getting rid of, but re-engineering some parts that were previously made out of heavier types of, say, steel, and using aluminum.
Yeah, so, for instance, the rear shocks.
Rear shocks.
So, yeah, there's really some room here for this M3 to lighten up a bit. And you see the splitter, you see the spoiler, and you clearly see the seats in some recent spy photos. We imagine, first off, we know that this car is going to be debuted at the M-Fest, which is in June. We imagine this car will be available, this four-door lightweight M3 will be available this fall as a 2012 model. And I would also expect a E92 based on the same principles. out perhaps next year.
Now, do you think that's like Interlagos Blue without metallic in it?
That's a good question, actually. I don't know. That's a really good question. It looks, I mean, it looks too dark for me to be similar to Interlagos, but I know metallic flake does weird things to paint. So perhaps.
I do like it.
Oh, I do too. I love it. I think it's actually really, really unique. And if that was an M, 1M color, I would probably order that.
Wow, that's a bold statement, Gabe.
Yeah. Well, I'm hungry for anything other than that Dan Valencia orange, which, you know, I look at the GTS orange, and which I can't think of the name of the orange offhand. I'm sure somebody could comment and correct me on it, but that's an orange, you know, ink orange, that's an orange. And, you know, that the Valencia orange is just, it's so bronzish if you have any shadow in it. Whereas that deep blue, that non-metallic blue shown in the concept M3 Lightweight is gorgeous. It's really interesting.
Yeah, and we're calling it a lightweight because we really can't call it a CSL. It's an E90. It has four doors. It is not a coupe, so it cannot be a coupe special light unless they create a new word that begins with C.
Coupster.
Ah, perhaps. I don't know what they would call it.
So
carry-all special light?
I don't know. Yeah, there you go. can't call it Carrera. We know that.
No.
So that is the M3 lightweight and the M5. There's one other little bit of M news. The 1M MotoGP pace car. It was out a couple of weeks ago and we featured it on Bimmerfile. Michael, that looks a lot like a 1M GTS.
It could be a 1M GTS or a 1M CSL, Gabe. I think that would fit the Nummer much better there, the coupe special light. Essentially, they lightened that hood up, made it carbon fiber, added some louvers so it loses even more weight, and you know, made some other tweaks inside and outside to basically lighten it up and make it more sporty, and it's got bigger brakes and all that. So yeah, it really could be a GTS, I guess, but from what I gather with BMW and what they're doing with these GTS cars is basically giving them big motors, more power, and not really caring about lightening them up all that much.
Well, it's interesting because where did this car come from? You know, I mean, this is clearly just a one-off, but the parts would indicate that it isn't. Some thought has been given to it. I mean, it's got a front splitter, which looks like it's clearly been engineered. It has an interior, of course, with some components, some unique components. It's got a rear spoiler that has been sized to fit the car. Of course, the front hood. I mean, just seems interesting to me.
Yeah, it sort of reminds me of, say, a special edition of a special edition. You could see this coming out as a limited run, as a end of the production run for the 1M. And people are probably like, why would they do that? They already have a limited car. Yeah. Well, because, you know, you build an even more limited car, it caters to a different market.
Yeah.
You're going to have these people spending lots of money. They're making the most money they can from the product. Or we've seen similar thing happen with the 1 Series TII back in the day when they had that as a preview of basically the BMW performance line. So this car, this MotoGP pace car, really could be an ad campaign in the future for BMW, or in this case, M Performance parts.
There you go. I really think they're after sales parts. That's where I think this is going to go.
I agree. I think it would make sense. They've already put the money in the development and the engineering of these, so
might as well. And I think you said it best. In fact, that last week when we spoke, I mean, the car may be done end of this year, but it's certainly going to still be out there, and people are still going to be spending money on it.
Sure, it's like an E46. It's still out there. People buying parts and putting stupid chrome rims on them, but yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, that's very true. I could talk about my E46 without chrome rims right now, but I won't. I'm actually going to talk very briefly about the M-Fest. And the M-Fest is the first time, to my knowledge, that M has done something like this. It's a festival that's built around a couple of events, but the main event, of course, is the 24 hours of the Nürburgring, and there's going to be a lot of different M activities that happen during that weekend. And it looks to be pretty much my dream trip, my dream experience in Germany with BMW. And I am heartbroken absolutely heartbroken that after, I think, officially, unofficially, being on a list for a 1M for 4 years now, I'm going to miss this date.
Well, Gabe, when I wrote that piece about, you know, the ultimate European delivery trip, picking up the 1M and taking in some time in Garching, taking the picture with the car at the, you know, official M headquarters, and then taking the drive to M Fest, you know, I was thinking of you and I was a little sad, but at the same time, Gabe, you're still going to get a fantastic car when it does arrive, and you're going to be one of the few people to have one, and I'm utterly jealous about that because I know I will not have a 1M.
Well, there you go. I'm certainly not gonna complain that much, but nonetheless, it looks like an incredible experience, and I'm actually just blown away by the whole concept of it. So we'll of course have a lot more about the M Fest in the weeks leading up to it.
Yeah, and actually at the M Fest, this M3 lightweight will be fully revealed, so we'll know what's going on. It's kind of a little party favor, I guess you could say, for all those attending M Fest. You'll get to see this M3 lightweight E90 sedan in fantastic blue and figure out what actually is going on with this car.
Well, let's move on from M. I feel like this is nothing but M tonight. There's a lot to talk about, but I think the biggest thing that we have left really on our plate, and certain we'll talk about everything else in due time, is the 6 Series Coupe, which just was released officially on the internet about 2 weeks ago. And I think, Michael, you and I have talked about the 6 Series as, you know, listen, the 6 Series, I love the original 6 Series from the 1980s. That to me, E24, gorgeous car. That to me is the epitome of a, you know, a GT from the BMW mindset. And when we got to the latest generation 6 Series, I think, and Michael, I think you'd agree with me, we both felt it just sort of lost something.
It lost everything.
So if it lost...
I am never, ever nice to that car, and I never will be. And that's just, that's who I am, it's how I'm going to be. I can't say anything nice about that car.
So let's move on to today. We have...
I love the new car, Gabe.
I think we've made it clear that we're certainly not apologists here on Bimmerfile or the Bimmercast. I mean, we call a spade, Michael, as you just did. And I am kind of happy to say I love it as well. The F12 is, I believe, the convertible. Is that right?
Yeah, F12 is convertible. F13 is the coupe.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it's aggressive. It's elegant. It has everything that you'd want in that kind of car, you know, in really that category. And as much as I loved the convertible, the coupe is really, it's just gorgeous.
And I think the coupe actually looks sportier than the convertible does.
I think so too. Now,
I think it's the headlights. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but there's something in the front that just makes it look a little bit more sporty to me. And, you know, they have this the 6 Series coming from water campaign going out there as their marketing gist with this thing. We'll all see sooner or later. I don't understand it, and I'm not going to really get into it, but apparently the design of this car is supposed to emulate water.
There you go. Well, the F12 is, the convertible is absolutely gorgeous, and again, I could never imagine saying that about a 6 Series coupe, I should say convertible, but I'm sold. I love it.
Yeah, actually I'm pleasantly surprised, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And I'm very intrigued by what they're going to do if this 6 Series, you know, Gran Turismo four-door beast comes to market as well. So,
well, that's a really good question. I mean, you know, this is that looks really interesting. The four-door 6 Series.
Yes.
That, of course, is something that is, it's interesting. To me, that is a little bit more coupe than sedan than even the Mercedes CLS.
Yeah, I would say so as well. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be definitely interesting if and when that does actually see the light of day. But for now, we can stare at this beautiful vermilion red, it looks like, and just be happy.
There you go. So I think I think that is gonna sum up a Bimmercast tonight. I mean, that's gonna finish it off. We have a lot to talk about in the future. I know we're gonna be talking about a couple of things we missed next week. I'm talking a little bit about our favorite 3 Series models, and of course, getting a little bit more in depth with the M5. I imagine we'll be talking about that diff perhaps next week.
Sounds good to me.
Yeah, perhaps. So with that said, we bid you a good evening. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, click over to bimmerfile.com and click on the contact form. You can let us know about maybe some subjects that you'd like to hear us talk about, any suggestions, anything. Obviously, we're certainly open and ready to listen. Until next week, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, prost.